Welcome to Parshas Vayechi, Tavshinayin Dalet, which also coincides with the fast of Asara B'Teves. So the parasha starts off that Yaakov is going to pass away, and he calls in his son. And pasuk, in the second pasuk of Tes, Vayikru Yemei Yisrael Lomus, Vayikra Levnoi LeYosef Vayomeloi, please Al Notik Vareini B'Mitzrayim, don't bury me in Egypt. I want to be buried with my forefathers. And says Yosef, Vayomer, Onoichi Esech Yidvorecho. Tati, I will do what you say, what your request. Yosef says, I will do it. But Yaakov doesn't stop. Vayomer, Hishavoli. I want you to swear about it. Your promise is insufficient, apparently. I want you to swear about it. And ask the Ramban, why was it not sufficient that his dear son Yosef promises his father, I will do what your last request, he has the power to do it? Which son wouldn't do such a thing? What was the concern that forced Yaakov to make Yosef have to swear? It's recorded in the Torah. It's obviously an important fact. It was a necessary fact that Yaakov didn't rely on Yosef. Answers the Ramban. Two answers. First of all, a person will be more committed and put in extra efforts if he's made a swear, if he's took an oath about it. So as much as Yosef has promised, but he'll do even more when you've taken an oath. And second of all, he did this so that Paro should agree. Once Paro will find out that Yosef took a shavua about it, then Paro will recognize the request. And indeed, that's what happens. Because in Perek Nun, Pasuk Vav, Vayom Paro, Alev Vikvor is Avicha Kasherish Biacha. Paro says, go and bury your father like you swore. So we see indeed the oath was a factor that made Paro concede to agree to Paro to be buried, for Yaakov to be buried outside of Egypt. There's a very beautiful message in this Ramban. So it comes out that when a person is obligated, then other people respect that. Paro respected that since Yosef took an oath, he had an obligation. So Paro understood, okay, I have to agree that you should do what you have to do. The same thing is, for example, Limud HaTorah. If a person has an obligation, he has a charusa, then his surroundings will recognize, I'm sorry, I'm not available right now, I have a charusa. Or I have a shir, I have a seder. If a person has an obligation, has a commitment, the surroundings, the environment will understand and be appreciated. So, okay, we can't call you now, we'll call you another time. Because people recognize other person's obligations. But there's a catch to it. What's the catch? It's only if we're consistent. Rav Meir Chodosh was a very famous mashgiach, and there was a kollel to be yeshiva, and an avreich came late. So Rav Meir asked him, why are you late? So the avreich said, because my wife asked me to help her. Said Rav Meir, and why did your wife ask you to help her? Sarmena, had it been that your wife would see how important it is for you to be in Seder, that when you're feeling down, you're tired, in all situations, you're there. So if she would see by you it's real, she would think twice before she'd ask you. But if she sees that you, Kol Sheni v'Chamishi, sleep in, have a schmooze, read the paper, have a good breakfast, you come late. So the wife says, my Gora, why am I worse off than anyone else to come and help me? See, that's the point. So why did your wife ask you to help her? Because she sees that you're lax, you're not consistent. That's the point over here. When a person has a real commitment and he's real about it, when it's on his expense, he doesn't give in, he comes to his harusa, comes to his shay, has his storim, has his commitment, his seita limut, then when he's real about it, the surroundings will appreciate it. So, oh, we understand. We understand you have your commitment. We'll bother you another time. Well, that's one point. In fact, Chazal say that the story of Pare was a bit more complex. That was the Ramban. But the Chazal, in Sechas Soita Daf Lamed Vav, it's quoted in Rashi, in Perek Nun Pasuk Vav, that when Yosef came to Pare and said, I need to pay my father, and Yosef told Pare, I took a Shavua, says Paroi to Yosef, so be over in your shvur. So you took a shvur, so undo your shvur. Ishtil, itshila shvurasech. Go to the Chochem and do undo your shvur. Said Yosef back to Paroi, ooh, I have a shvur to you, because I took a shvur to you, I will not reveal the secret. Which secret? That there's one language that I know and you don't know. It's called Lashon HaKodesh. It's very embarrassing for this to be known. And Paro was so embarrassed, he forced Yosef to take a shavua that Yosef will not reveal that he knows the extra language. Says Yosef to Paro, if you want me to be undo my shavua, I'm going to undo your shavua. And Paro says, okay, so you can go. It's mentioned in Rashi, and that's the Gemara in Saitar. Ask the stipend, Birkas Peretz. What is this? What's going on over here? This is how you speak to a king? Yosef is threatening Pare. If you're going to force me to undo my shvur, I'm going to undo your shvur. That's not a derechas, not the way you speak to a king. Says the stipend, Birkas Peretz. So Yosef was not threatening Pare. He was giving him a fact. What is the power of a shvur? Shvur is a certain understanding. A person feels, when I've made a shvur, I have to keep my word at any price. Just a promise, I'll visit you one day, doesn't mean anything. When a person makes a shvur, then there's an inner, his inner truth tells him, you have to keep your word, you took a shvur, you're committed to your word. That's the power of a shvur. Now, Chazal say, when a person does an Avera, Ova Avera v'shonabo, hutraloi. When a person does an Avera again, twice, it becomes mutter to him. Ask the Gemara, hutraloi salkadaitoch, what's permitted, mashamayim, he can now do the Avera again. Says the Gemara, no, nasis loy keheter. In his mind it becomes mutter. So we see, when a person does an Avera twice, all his feelings to the Avera till now, he looked at the Avera as a bad thing, now it's Hutraloi in his mind. So if after twice it's Hutraloi, after once what happens? It's half Hutraloi. Means every time a person does an Avera, his inner resistance gets watered down. So therefore, Yosef was telling Pare, I'm not threatening you, but it's a fact. I want to tell you some facts. A shvur is something that people have a pach, have a terror. I have to keep my shvur. If you're going to tell me to undo my shvur, then you're causing me to undo my feelings to a shvua, that my inner truth that tells me you've got to keep your word is being watered down. Once it's watered down, then by default, your shvua is also going to be watered down. It's not a threat. But if you're going to force me to practice undoing a shvua, then by definition, your shvua is also under threat. It also can be undone. So it's not worth it for you to do that to me. I once heard a lecture from a person who deals with hitmakriyot. I forgot the word. People get addictions. And he said, told us, that once a person gets addicted, even if he's weaned off, for the rest of his life, he must always be part of a group, a protection group. Once a person took drugs at the age of 15, that even when he's 60, he's under threat. There's always a chance he might fall back to his bad ways. For the rest of his life, he must always need to be protected, be careful about himself. Why? Because once you've been exposed to something, then you'll never be the same person again. So therefore, same thing with a chet. All the sfarim write this. When a person does a chet, then next time he's more vulnerable, even when he does tshuva, but he's more vulnerable to the chet. Because he broke his boundaries. So once those boundaries have been broken, even though you've done tshuva, there's always a greater chance you might fall back. You've got to be extra cautious, extra careful. Therefore, tells Yosef, if you're going to force me to break my shvua, by definition, your shvua is also under threat. And that is an important lesson. We have to be about hatoyim, realizing every chet, we do a chet one time, we've watered down our natural resistance to the chet, our natural protection. And therefore, it's so dangerous, we have to be careful not to fall into any chet. About Gvuras Yaakov, the Rabbeinu Bechaya points out a fascinating insight. Okay, who buried Yaakov? Yosef. Yosef is the one who organized Yaakov's burial. Now, who buried Yosef? Who took Yosef's bones? What? Moshe Rabbeinu, correct? As it says in Shmois, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yutes, Vayikach Moshe es atzmis Yosef imoy.
He didn't bury it, but he took the bones.
Okay, but he organized it. Right, he took it out of Mitzrayim. He was the one looking after Yosef. So there's an upgrade. Yosef looked after Yaakov, and who looked after Yosef? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now it's not over. Who buries Moshe Rabbeinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see the schar, Rabbeinu Bechai points it out. See the schar of the mitzvah. You get more and more. And therefore, it says Rabbeinu Bechai, therefore we have to mitzvah with zrizus to realize it's very precious things to do a mitzvah. To zrizus and not to be lazy about, don't be lax about mitzvahs. Do the mitzvahs besimcha, because you see how great the schar is. One last point about the Gvura, that Gvura is Yaakov. Why was he so desperate not to be buried in Mitzrayim? So Rashi, in Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Chotes, brings three reasons why Yaakov did not want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Number one, he knew that the ground would turn into kinim, into lice. Number two, there's a tsar, Gilgul Mechilois. Because the tzaddikim by Tchiyas HaMeisim are going to have to roll, go through Mechilo, get to Eretz Yisrael. And number three, he didn't want the Mitzrayim to make him into Avodah Zarah. So I sit on Chavrusa with a great grandson of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he told me that most of the Gedolei HaDor are buried in Yerushalayim. Everyone gets taken to Yerushalayim, but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is buried in America. Reason being, he requested to be buried there. Why? Because he didn't want to be a triach, he didn't want to be a burden to his family. Since the family are living in the US, so he wants to be buried there, should be close by. He shouldn't have to be a triach then to come to Eretz Yisrael. What about Tzar Mechilois? So Yaakov Kamenetsky said, since Rashi brings three reasons why Yaakov didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim, and So that means you need all three. And since kinim is not a meat, and avodah zara, no one's going to make me into avodah zara. So just because it's tzara mechila is not a reason that I should be matriarch my family. That's what he told me, this grandson told me. That's why he's buried in the US. So it's not to be matriarch his family. I'm sure many of his family are now here, but that's what his great-grandson told me. The pasuk says, "Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lomos," the first pasuk in the parasha. So the Chofetz Chaim in the Shem Olam, Perek Aleph, brings the Zohar. So in Chelek Aleph, Perek Aleph, brings the Zohar. But the Zohar says, what does it mean? Yikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lomos? Says the Zohar, when a person dies, his days get together. His days come to testify what he did. So we see, says the Chofetz Chaim, that even though in the secular world there's a concept called kill time. Kill time. How do you kill time? Take out your computer game. Press the button. That's called killing time. Kill it. That's what they think. But for MS, a person doesn't kill time. Our days stay with us. And when we die, our days are there. We can come and testify. What we do makes our days into a spiritual entity. Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael. The Yemei Yisrael were coming to testify for him. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Shem Olam, we see that we can be mekadosh ourselves. The pasuk says we mekadosh our body. You know, there's ramach mitzvahs essay, and there's a ramach evarim in the body, limbs in the body. And the pasuk says we said it this morning. The man tizkru vasisem is called mitzvoisai vayisem kedoshim elokeich. You see, doing a mitzvah makes us kodesh. It gives kedusha to the guf. When we do a mitzvah, we make a bracha. Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoisa. Right? What does that mean? It makes us holy. Kiddushonu. So that is dusha. That gives dusha to the body. What gives dusha to the day? Says the Chofetz Chaim that what gives dusha to the day is the Shabbos. Shabbos, he says, is like the body, the heart pumps, is the life, pumps life into the body, gives life to the body. So too is Shabbos give life to the week, gives dusha to the week. And therefore, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are called pre-Shabbos days, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are post-Shabbos days. But they all are all part of Shabbos. And the Shabbos gives dusha to all those days. That's what he brings. And I found a fascinating thing in the Chaya Odom. The Chaya Odom, in his Klal Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the very first Halacha, he brings the Hilchos Shabbos. He also brings the idea that Shabbos gives dusha to all the days, suckle dusha from Shabbos, the whole week round. Then the Chaya Odom goes into this weird halacha. He talks about someone who gets lost in the midbar. He's in the midbar and he loses track of the days. He doesn't know what day is. Right? So what happens? So he takes a random day and he says, okay, today's Shabbos, and he makes Kiddush and makes Havdalah. This is to be found in the very end of Hilchos Shabbos. It's the last siman in Hilchos Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you. I'm not mistaken, it's the very last siman. Let's check. One second. And obviously it's a very, very rare case. And I was mind-boggled. I was struck. Why would the Chaya Odom choose this halacha in halacha Aleph? I would choose Bishul, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak, I've got to tell you, there's something called Bishul. There's something called Boirer. Yeah. Din Hoylech Bamidbar B'Shabbos. It's the very last siman in Chelek Gimel. Why would the Chaya Odom bring this halacha in halacha aleph, in siman aleph halacha aleph? That's wild. I kept on reading. I was fascinated. What's he doing? Says the Chayei Odom. So what's pshat? Then he connects. So the guy makes Kiddush and the guy makes Havdalah. What's he doing? But chances are, the 6 out of 7 chances, the guy is wrong. It's a Sunday. It's a Monday. So what does it mean making Kiddush and Havdalah? Says the Chayei Odom, this is pshat. Because all the days of the week are connected to Shabbos. Every day has a pina of Shabbos. So therefore, it could be this guy is a Tuesday and he's making Kiddush. There's an element of Shabbos there. There's something there. There's something Shabbos-dick on the Tuesday. So in this rare situation where he had no choice, so we Chazal say make Kiddush, make Havdalah. Not a brachal of Atolah, so to speak. Because every day is still connected to Shabbos. We want this guy to be connected to Shabbos. He's connecting by making Kiddush today. That's why he brings that Aroch Aleph. To show that all days are sakening, we're all yonek, we're all connecting to Shabbos. The ganze Voch is affected by Shabbos and gives Kedusha. We keep our Shabbos properly, gives Kedusha to the whole week long. That's what the Chofetz Chaim, that's the Chayei Odom and the Chofetz Chaim. Okay, we go to the brachas, and Yosef brings to Yaakov. He brings his two sons. And in Perek Memches, Pasuk Chof, Yaakov gives a bracha. Vayivorechem bayom uleimor b'cha. Yivorech Yisrael, Leimor. Yisimcha Elohim Ke'efrayim V'chimenashe. What does that mean? B'cho Yivorech Yisrael. Says Rashi, Habon Yivorech is Bonov. In the future generations, when a person wants to give a bracha to his child, Yivorech Yibirkas V'yibirkosom V'yimer Ish Levnoi Yisimcha Elohim Ke'efrayim V'chimenashe. In future generations, then that's how people are going to bracha to their children. That's what we do, right? Every Friday night, that's what the bracha we give to our children. And the question is, what's unique and special about Ephraim and Menashe? There were Reuben, Shimon, Levi, with many other tzaddikim around. What's special about Ephraim and Menashe? It's well known, B'shem Aponovich Rav. Aponovich Rav said, what's unique about Ephraim and Menashe is that they became one of the Shvatim. We have the 12 Shvatim. Two of them are Ephraim and Menashe. Even though they're a generation further, they're the next generation. Because they are the grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu, whereas all the other Shvatim were the children of Yaakov Avinu. So even though we have an idea called Yiridas HaDoros, that every generation deteriorates relative to the generation before, but Ephraim and Menashe managed to be at the level of their father. And therefore they were the level of the door of the Shvatim. And that's the bracha, that's what we give the bracha to our children. That you shouldn't have the Yeridas HaDoros. You shouldn't go down, at least be the level I was able to be. Level of my generation. You shouldn't have to descend and go down even further. That's the bracha we're giving to our child. They shouldn't have to be affected by Yeridas HaDoros. Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav. We learn about Yisachar. Yisocho chamoy gorem, roivet benem ishkosayim. He's like a chamor, he's very tough. He sleeps in the field on his way. And then it says, Vayar menucha ki toiv, v'esa aretz ki no'ema. He sees the menucha. It's so good. So what happens? Vayet shichmo yisboil. So therefore, he's willing to toil and suffer. What's going on? He sees menucha, and it causes him to lisboil, to suffer. I thought menucha is to rest and have a great time. What's happening in this pasuk? So Rabbeinu Bechaya, he learns that there's a difference between Torah and physical tasks. In a physical task, you need to have for the task to be done, you need to have menuchas ha-nefesh and omel ha-guf. You need to build the building, right? You gotta carry all those bricks. You need to have omel ha-guf and menuchas ha-nefesh, right? The builder could listen. You could listen to music in the meantime. It doesn't matter. You can schmooze. He just has to toil. By Torah, it's the other way around. By Torah, he needs to have omel ha-nefesh. The mind must toil and concentrate to understand the Torah. But he needs to have menucha saguf. Because the guf doesn't have menucha, then he can't learn properly. That's what we daven for in Skim. We daven for v'hasem imenu yogarim v'anocha. For the tzaddikim to be effective, they need to have all the tzaras taken away from them to have menucha saguf, in order they can succeed in the omol hanefesh. That's what, therefore, he says, "Vaya menucha kitoiv." It's good. Menucha saguf. It's good for Yisocha. But yet, shichmon is well. Now he's available to be soivel, to toil hard on his Torah with using his nefesh. That's how Rabbeinu Bechaya explained the pasuk. There's a beautiful Chofetz Chaim. It's very good to see. We found it in the Sefer Shem Olam. It's good, you can tell it to your kids on Shabbos. If you find it, it's in the 10th perek of the Shem Olam, of the first Chelek. And the Chofetz Chaim says, what's going on? Menucha, why does Menucha cause sevel? Says Chofetz Chaim a moshel. You probably heard this before, of a diamond dealer who would go far away to the market, go overseas to buy diamonds. Once a year, he would buy diamonds for cheap and bring them home, and he'll sell those diamonds. He says, once a very rich merchant who he traveled the long voyage, got to the market, spent his money, all his investment money, he bought goods, and was just about to leave. All he had left was just his money for his journey back. And someone approached him and said, look, I have the deal of your life. Let me show you some diamonds. And he sees these unbelievable diamonds, just unbelievable. This guy was had to sell for dirt cheap, and it was an opportunity of a lifetime. It was an unbelievable opportunity, but the merchant said, I've spent all my money, what can I do? I've spent my money. All I have is 200 rubles for my journey back. The guy said, but you know, you should still rethink about it. He said, you know what? My 200 rubles covers, I travel first class, I eat first class, I sleep first class. So you know what? I'll cut back. I use my journey money, I'll use most of it for the diamonds. I'll keep 20 rubles for myself to travel back. And that's what he did. With 20 rubles, all he could do was third class. He had to travel on the communal first class. Instead of having private cabin in the train, he had to travel with all the peddlers over there in the third class. And instead, when he came to the hotel, instead of going up to get a special suite, special private, to go down in the basement where all the schnorrers are, they're all hanging around, it's all together, you know, privacy, it's not geschmack. And one of his friends is walking in the lobby, and one of his friends says, is that you? I can't believe it. I know you're so rich, you're so well to do. Why are you sleeping in the third class compartment? So you know, you're right. But let me show you. Let me show you why. Sometimes, look, I had this opportunity. I said, wow, you're right. That's worth it. But tell me, how do you do it? You're used to such a different class. How are you successful in keeping? How do you feel? Don't you feel down? He says, I do. From time to time, I get overwhelmed. I say, where am I? You know, I'm used to sleeping in these beautiful rooms, and now I'm with everyone else. And what do I do when I feel down? I open my bag, and when I'm feeling down, I look at my diamonds and I see the beauty. And wow, ooh, it gives us the strength. I know, wow, I'm going to get these diamonds. That I'm going to take them home. It's worth it. It's worth it for me. And it gives me strength and inspiration just to carry on, knowing that eventually I'm going to tap into tremendous fruits and benefits, even though it's a temporary suffering, temporary not geschmack, but I'm going to make it rich. Says Chofetz Chaim, "Vayar menucha ki toiv." What does menucha mean? Menucha is referring to Gan Eden. So, "Ve'asa aretz ki na'ima, vayetshich mo lisbo." Lisbo means bo'ilam hazeh. Sometimes it's hard, it's difficult. It's difficult to be kaveitim la Torah and calm. No, I feel so tired. I feel whacked out. I had a hard day's work. Well, I want to lay back. It's true. It is difficult. You're right. But v'yam menucha kitoy, person has to look and see what is Torah. What is it? It's worth more than kesef zar shebo'ilam. That will give you inspiration. V'yam menucha kitoy, v'es aretz ki no'ima. Says aretz is referring to the Gan Eden atachtoin. Don't know what that means. The Gan Eden atach. That's the aretz. He says. And therefore, v'yetchich molizvah. That will give you the strength and inspiration to continue. Whatever hardships are involved, you're going to continue to get those diamonds, to get the mitzvahs, the Torah, the mitzvahs. That will give it inspiration. So a person has to, from time to time, look at the diamonds, relearn what is the mitzvah, what is the Torah, and that will give them the koach to withstand all the cold winds and the difficult situations that we are in. V'yam menucha ki toiv, v'es aretz ki na'ima, v'yeit shich mo'i lisboil. Could I to see it? And the shame oilom. Okay. Two more points. We have at the end of Kvuras, okay, they all go to take Yaakov to bury him. And they come to Moras HaMachpelo. And the Gemara tells us that there was a whole commotion that happened because Esav showed up. Esav shows up, and Esav says, "I'm sorry, you can't bury Yaakov in Moras HaMachpelo because it's mine." So they say, "What do you mean? You sold your Poira to Yaakov?" Says Esav, "True, I indeed sold my Poira. But I didn't sell my poshut." A poor has a double portion. So therefore, I sold my double portion, correct. But I didn't sell my single portion. Like every son gets a portion of his father. So therefore, Yitzhak has died. Okay? In the Moras HaMachpelo, it's uga zugais. It's zug zug. Like Adam v'Chava, Yitzhak v'Rivka. So we have a double portion now. Yaakov has buried Leah. Leah's already buried. So Yaakov's already taken his portion. The second portion is for me. That's what Esav says. But they tell him, "No, you sold that as well. You sold your portion, your pasha as well." Because Yaakov said, "Esakeba shekarisi li." And karisi means to buy, and Yaakov paid him for his chelek. And Esav says, "What are you talking about?" And they say, "There's a star, you wrote a star. Where's the star? Show me the star." But it's in Mitzrayim. It's all in Gemara and Saita. And I think it's up Yud Gimel. So they send Naftali, Yor Shlucha, to run back to Mitzrayim, to bring the Shtar. Meantime, everyone's hanging around. Now there's one grandson called Hushim ben Dan. And he was deaf. He didn't hear well. And he didn't understand what's going on. He didn't hear all the discussion. And he asked, "What is going on?" So they shouted and said, "Hey!" They explained to him that Esav we have a dispute with Esav, and we're waiting for the Haftori to bring the documents to show that indeed the kever belongs to Yaakov Avinu. And Hushin said, the Acha Yovoi, till Naftali comes, Yemutal Avi Abba Bevizoyin, my father's father, Yaakov, is going to be lying in Bezoyin without being buried because of this guy, this Rasha. He took a kulpi, he took a stick, and he smashed him on his head, killed Esav. Esav's head rolled into the Maros HaMachpeda onto Yaakov's feet. Yaakov opened his eyes and smiled. That's what Gemara said. That was it. So Hushim ben Dan took the stick and just smashed his head off. Fine. Also, Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Sichus Musar, Tovshin Lamed Aleph, Simon Lamed Beis. Why was only Hushim ben Dan the one to respond that way? Everyone saw, everyone present, there was a big crowd of people. They all saw Yaakov Avinu Mutal the Bizoyan. Why is it that only Hushim ben Dan was the one who responded? Says the famous Rebbe Chaim Shmuel Levitz, because it was a very slow process. No, Esav came, oh, it's mine. No, you sold it. I didn't sell the Pashut. Yes, you did. It was all a matter of, in 5 minutes. All the political reporters and so forth were saying, oh, another 5 minutes, another half an hour. Okay, we need the shtar. Oh, wait, the Naftali's on the way. He's going to come back. So what was happening? You get used to the situation. People are used to the situation. You get desensitized. But Hushim ben Dan wasn't involved. He was deaf. He couldn't hear properly. He didn't know what was happening. And he just came into the picture in a flash. What? Because this Russia, Yavi Abba Mutal Bezoyim? Forget it. Boom. And he said, that was it. So we see the power of a hergel. We get used to situations. You know, it's very dangerous. There are many stories that people, the first time they came to Israel, got off the boat, they saw Chil Shabbos first time, they got a shock. But get used to it, right? You could maybe the first time you heard Lashon Hara, maybe you're very shocked, but then you can get used to it. Get desensitized. But it's not necessarily correct. And that's something we have to be very careful about. You get used to doing Averas. Okay? Person, you get used to coming late to shul and used to the minute you get used to everything. But that's what we learn from Hushim ben Dan, that he used the moment to do and act. He didn't allow himself to get desensitized, and he brings the Pine brings the Medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni, and Parshas told us about Yosef ben Yoizer, who was on his way to be hung. Yosef ben Yosef Ish Tzreda, he's in the Mishnayos, and he was going to be hung. And there was a horse that was carrying the gallows, and his nephew also was riding a horse on Shabbos. Obviously, he was a Hellenite, and he was mocking his uncle. And he says to his uncle, "Look at my horse that I've been given. I'm riding a horse on Shabbos. And this is my sports car, and look at your horse. Your horse is taking your gallows to hang you." So Yosef ben Yosef tells him, "Im lo oisei ritzoyin hoikach, lo oisei ritzoyin alachat kama v'kama. If people who go against Hashem's will, you get the horse, you get a good time. People who do Hashem's will, alachat kama v'kama, what tzchar I'm going to get." So Yosef tells him, the nephew tells him, "But who has done more schar than you have? Who deserves more schar than you? And look what's happening, you're about to be hung." So he says back to him, "V'im lo oisei ritzoyin oikach." So if this is what happens to oisei ritzoyin, they get hung. "V'oivrei ritzoyin alachas kama v'kama." And the Medrash says, "Nichnas boy ke'eresh arachnoi." He got like bitten with like a snake, and he set up a whole system. He did it on himself. The Abraham Mises based him. He had a fire and a sword, and the fire burned his rope, and he fell on the sword, and he got skeeda. He did all the Abraham Mises based him, and he killed himself. And Yosef ben Yosef said, "Kidmani legan Eden b'sharachas." He's got to Gan Eden before I got there. So we see the power of a moment. The power of a moment that all of a sudden that grandson, that nephew, it hit him. Because he asked the question, he was curious, who else deserves more schar than you? What schar are you getting? And he was hit. And he was told, but if that's what happens to me, what's going to happen to you? And it hit him so strong, that one moment changed his whole life. And he got to Gan Eden before that Yosef and Yosef did. So Chaim says, you see the power of a moment, the power of an inspiration. You have to act on an inspiration. That's what happened to Hushim ben Dan. Everyone else was desensitized, and he had the moment and he did it. He was pale, he acted on the moment, shouldn't get lost. Okay, one last point. Today is Asara B'Teves. No, there's four Tzoymos, four fasts mentioned by the Navi. Tzoyma Ravi, which is Shavuos B'Tammuz, Tzoyma Chamishi, which is the fifth month of Tisha B'Av. We have Tzoym HaShvi'i, is Tzoym Gedalia, seventh month, and we have Tzoym HaSiri, Shavuos B'Tammuz. What happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz? The siege started. It happened in Bais Rishon. Melech Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, came and sieged Yerushalayim. Now, all of the fasts, if they fall on a Shabbos, they get pushed up. Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbos, we do it on a Sunday. Shavuos B'Tammuz, everything else will be pushed off to Shabbos. But Asara B'Teves, the only fast, with Avu Adram, the Beis Yosef and Simon Kuf Nun, brings the Avu Adram, who says that Asara B'Teves, if it falls on a Shabbos, will override the Shabbos, will fast on Shabbos. It actually doesn't happen in our calendar, it just doesn't happen. But were it to happen, if our calendar would be different, were it to fall on Shabbos, it would not be Doicha Shabbos. It would be Doicha Shabbos. We would lose out, we have no chance on Shabbos morning. That's the power of it. Tisha B'Av is not Doicha Shabbos. Tisha B'Av, we have food like Suda Shleima B'Shaitoi. We have lavish meals in Tisha B'Av when it falls on a Shabbos. But on Asara B'Teves, no. Because it says, Be'etzem Ayoyim Azeh. And the question is, what really happened on Asara B'Teves? Was it really so bad? So the siege started. What happened immediately after the siege? On that day, what happened? Were they hungry? Look, the siege, if you look up the Tanakh, in Melachim Beis, Perchof Hei, you'll see over there, it took them 3 years. 3 years they're under siege. So they survived for 3 years. So it must be at the beginning, they had food. It must be in the beginning, on the day of Asara B'Teves, that the shops were still full with food and supplies. If they lasted for 3 years, they must have had quite a significant amount. So why is Asara B'Teves so bad? There was nothing so dramatic that happened. The other days, Shavuos B'Tammuz, they broke in. On Tisha B'Av, the Churban, they actually destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. These were very dramatic events. But nothing really so dramatic happened on Asara B'Teves. So why is it so important? So I saw in a sefer called Me'ayin HaMoed, he says the following mashal. A person, Nebuch, developed cancer. Developed the machla. And he went through treatments. And he went through operations. And the situation deteriorated. Went worse and worse and worse. During the shiva, the family are sitting. And they're remembering what happened. So, that operation, where things really went bad after that operation. And other members say, oh, remember that treatment had, that big treatment they gave him? That was really bad. There was a big turn for the worst after that treatment was unsuccessful. They're trying to remember the details, the stages of his deterioration. There was a medical man present at the shiva. He says, Rabbi Sai, I want to tell you. You're remembering events that happened? I want to tell you about an event that none of us witnessed. It was the beginning when the first cancerous cell was produced. when the body started to destroy itself, that's the big moment. We weren't aware of it. No one was aware of it. But that's the critical moment. Because once that happened, all the rest was just manifestation. Was just an expected outcome. So the voice say, that's what Tisha B'Av is an expected outcome. Shiva Asabat Tammuz is an expected outcome. But Shiva Asabat Tammuz, Asar Batavis, is the beginning. All the Tisha B'Av and the Shiva, it's all linked into, it's all there, into the Shiva, one into the siege, the beginning of the siege. At the beginning we didn't feel it, correct. But it's all there. All the Saras, the forthcoming Saras are all present. They're all there at the beginning. It's all outcomes that will come from the beginning, from the siege. And that's the idea we have in our Asar B'Tavis. And therefore, what's the message to us? As parents, as mechanchim, you have to realize that when big things happen, it started from a crack. You see a kid going off the derech, it didn't start now. There's a beginning to it. There's a beginning. And when it's at the beginning, you could deal with it. But one thing is, if you get out of hand, that's it. You're very limited what you can do. Be where the beginning, that crack at the beginning, that's hollow. That's what you have to look into. And try and deal with that crack. Because in those beginnings, all the bad outcomes can come. And remember that things don't happen in a vacuum. And if the bo reik ain boy ma'im, then choshim akravim yesh boy. So we have to be careful. So that's a message. That's a message we have to take to recognize the beginnings. The beginnings might not be bad food. They felt fine. They felt fine in the beginning. They felt calm. They felt protected. They had these big walls. Maybe, but we know Asar B'Tavis is the beginning. That's Doicha Shabbos. All other dates are not critical. Tisha B'Av could have happened 10 days later or 10 days before. But this is the day. This is the beginning. And therefore, this is iron hard. It's not flexible. This is the day. And that's why Doicha Shabbos. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos. The fast should be turned to Sosen and Simcha.